Welcome, my name is Pastor Scotty Bockhaus, and we thank you for taking some time to listen to some audio recordings from the pulpit of the Riverview Baptist Church. Our desire is to show the Lord high, holy, and lifted up, as well as try to be a blessing to those through the Word of God. Please enjoy this message, and we pray that it will be a blessing to your life. And if you wouldn't mind, to take your copy of the Word of God and turn with me to the Gospel record of John. The Gospel record of John, and we find our way to the Gospel record of John in chapter number 19. The Gospel record of John and chapter 19. We are continuing and on the finishing place, the climax of the Gospel record of John. We've traveled with the Lord Jesus Christ from the beginning, and remember that the whole purpose of the Gospel record of John is for the purpose of showing that Jesus Christ indeed is the Son of God, that we may believe upon Him for eternal life. Now, the biggest place to show that Jesus Christ indeed is God is going to be the cross of Calvary. Now, to get to Jesus at the cross of Calvary, the Gospel record of John spends a lot of time. Remember, the Gospel record of John spends a majority of its time, the emphasis of the book, is the last week of the Lord Jesus Christ's earthly ministry. It spends a majority of the book talking about that last week. It speaks about the Lord Jesus Christ and His triumphant entry into Jerusalem. It speaks about the Lord Jesus Christ spending time with His disciples in the upper room discourse, the Olivet Discourse, as He spends time with His disciples trying to invest in them, to give them resiliency, to give them everything they need to continue when He is gone. We have spent time with the Lord Jesus Christ as He goes to the Garden of Gethsemane and He prays. We saw the Lord Jesus Christ as He's betrayed by Judas and He is arrested. We saw Him come to an illegal trial and we discussed all the things that were illegal in that trial. We saw Him and we spent several messages with Him with Pilate and saw that Pilate going back and forth between Jesus and with the religious establishment. And on Wednesday, we had covered with Pilate had to deal with Jesus, and he had to discuss and deal with Jesus, and what am I going to do with Jesus as Jesus the man? Behold the man. He had to deal with Jesus as the Son of God. Behold the Son of God. Then he had to deal with Jesus the King. Behold the King. And each of those, Pilate had to make a decision, what am I going to do with Jesus? And each time he still gave in, because he did not want to make a decision. Remember that when you don't make a decision, someone else is going to make the decision for you. And the religious establishment continued to put on pressure. We had discussed and showed how Pilate had scourged Jesus. The crucifixion of most of the prisoners did not include scourging. This was something as an added bonus for Jesus, because Pilate was trying to save Jesus' life. He was hoping that after the scourging, how bloodied it was, that he would present Jesus bloodied and battered and beaten. Remember, his face was so beaten that you couldn't even recognize that he was a man. And as he stood there, dripping with blood, made fun of with a crown of thorns, that purple robe that one of the soldiers had put around him, and he said, behold, your king. Even though he was a bloody mess and it was disgusting to look at, it was like looking at a car accident. It was like looking at someone who was in a serious accident in an ICU and just seeing how awful it was, the face all bruised, the body all mangled. And yet they looked at him and they said, crucify him, crucify him. And Pilate is just beside himself. What do I do with him? Finally, he gives in. And he has now pronounced judgment. He brought him to the place of the pavement and officially declared that Jesus Christ is to be crucified. Which brings us to where we're at now. Notice with me, if you don't mind, the Gospel record of John chapter 19. The Gospel record of John chapter 19, and notice with me in verse number 16. The Gospel record of John 19 and verse 16, it says, "Then delivered he him, then delivered Pilate Jesus, therefore unto them, the religious establishment, to be crucified. And they," so it's going to be the Roman soldiers, "took Jesus and led him away. Then he," Jesus, "bearing his cross, went forth into the place that is the place of the skull, which is called in the Hebrew Golgotha, where they crucified him and the other with him on either side, and Jesus in the midst. And Pilate wrote a title and put it on the cross, and written was Jesus of Nazareth, the King of the Jews. The title then read many of the Jews, for the place where Jesus was crucified was nigh to the city, and it was written in Hebrew and Greek and Latin. Then said the chief priest of the Jews to Pilate, Write not the King of the Jews, but that he said, I am the King of the Jews. Pilate answered, What I have written, I have written. Then the soldiers, when they had crucified Jesus, took his garments and made four parts, to every soldier a part, also his coat. Now the coat was without seam, woven from the top throughout. And they said, therefore, among themselves, Let us not rend it, but cast lots for it, whose it shall be, that the scripture may be fulfilled, which saith, They parted my raiment among them, and for my vesture they cast lots. They did this, therefore, the soldiers did. Now there stood by the cross his mother, and his mother's sister Mary, the wife of Cleophas, and Mary Magdalene. And Jesus therefore saw his mother and the disciple standing by, whom he loved. He saith to his mother, Woman, behold thy son. Then saith he to his disciples, Behold thy mother. And from that hour that disciple took her unto his own home. After this, Jesus, knowing that all things were now accomplished, that the scripture might be fulfilled, saith, I thirst. Now therefore was set a vessel full of vinegar, that they filled the sponge full of vinegar, and put upon hyssop, and they put it to his lips. Jesus therefore had received the vinegar, said, It is finished. And he bowed his head and gave up the ghost. The Jews, therefore, because it was the preparation and the body should not remain upon the cross the Sabbath day, for the Sabbath day was a high day, besought Pilate that their legs might be broken, that they may be taken away. Then came the soldiers and brake the legs of the first and the other which was crucified with him. But when they came to Jesus and saw he was dead already, they brake not his legs. But one of the soldiers with a spear pierced his side, and forthwith came out their blood and water. And he saw that it bare record, and his record is true, that he might knoweth that he saith is true, that ye might believe. For these scriptures were done, that the scripture might be fulfilled, a bone of him shall not be broken. And another scripture that saith, They look upon him whom they pierced. And if in the habit are marking things in your Bible, would you mark a place that we find in the Bible in the Gospel record of John chapter 19. The Gospel record of John chapter 19, and notice with me in verse number 20, where it says very simply, Jesus was crucified. Jesus was crucified. And with the Lord's help, we're going to cover this event here. Jesus was crucified. If you don't mind, let's go to the Lord together and let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you again for you being a wonderful God. And as we come up to you, we're just asking that you would give us grace and that you'd give us mercy and that you would help us even now. Lord, I'm asking that you would just give us understanding from your word that you said that we can pray, Behold, let us behold wonderful things out of thy law. That the idea that make us go wow. And I'm asking that with this passage here, I know we've heard over years, there's plenty of messages on the cross. Let this not be dry. Let it not be boring. Let it not be just, I've heard this over and over. Let us go wow, because there are so many things in the Gospel record of John in this account that make us go, wow, so many little things in here that should make us drop our jaws and go, wow, things that we have never seen before, things that we've passed over. I'm asking that this would be an amazing message, even for those who have heard the cross over and over and over, that this would make us go, wow, what a Savior. Wow, what a God. And that we would be amazed by you yet again. We love you in Jesus' name. Amen. Now again, I've already kind of given a recap of what brought us to this event. The Lord Jesus Christ here is already medically hurting. He's already lost blood. He started at the Garden of Gethsemane, where he was praying so intently, he sweat great drops of blood. He's already been scourged. He's where he lost lots of blood under the scourging. He's already been beaten and battered. He's already has the the crown of thorns beat on his head. He has not eaten. He is not drinking anything. He has not replenished any fluids. He has lost lots of fluids. There's a lot of things medically going on. He's been left to stand there. As his back was exposed, they put on a cloak that soaked up the blood and began to coagulate, congeal, and then they took it off to peel it again. There's a lot of things medically going on with the Lord Jesus Christ. There's a lot of things going on around the Lord Jesus Christ that they have political things going on. The disciples have abandoned him. They have the Roman soldiers that are doing things. There's a lot of things going on. But there's also a lot of scriptural things going on. Over and over in this passage here, which is unusual for the gospel record of John, but in this passage especially, it's going to place a great emphasis that the scriptures were fulfilled. The scriptures were fulfilled. The scriptures were fulfilled. You understand that none of this was happenstance. None of this was accident. And the people and participants of this didn't even realize that they were fulfilling prophecy. But yet, Jesus understood, even while he was on the cross, and even while he was on the cross, he was in lots of pain, he was medically distressed, he still had a concern for others, which still was fulfilling prophecy. Again, as I preface this, there's a lot of things in here that should make us go, wow. If you don't mind, let's dive in. And again, with the time that I have, just studying this as a preacher and spending a lot of time, I doubt if I could go through and go and give all the emphasis of the things that made me go, wow. But the good thing is that you have your own Bible and you can spend a lot of time and go through it yourself. This is a passage worth studying over and over and over. And almost every time you go through here, you could find something new that you said, I didn't see this before. I never realized this before. This is wow. Wow. This is a rich passage that you could dig for diamonds and find one every time you go out. You'll never come out dry on this one. This is a deep, rich passage. I can only do so much in the time that we have, but let's dig out some diamonds in this. And let's go wow together. If you don't mind, let's just dig through and let's just dive in and let's just start seeing. First of all, let's see the death of the cross. The death of the cross. Verse number 16. Then delivered he, that's Pilate, him, Jesus, therefore to them to be crucified. And they took Jesus and led him away. Now the other gospel records spend more time talking about this procession and the leading of the way. We know that there was a lot of things already going on in this leading away, already answering the scourging, all the other things that occurred. But notice as we go on in verse number 17. And he, bearing the cross, so he... Part of the punishment that the people who died on the cross, remember the cross, by the way, was a strict Roman punishment of death, that the cross was not an instrument of death of any other culture before this time. And it was a very horrible way to die. Remember, it was such a horrible way of dying that they invented its own word to describe the pain someone felt on the death, on the cross, and that word is excruciating. That word means the pain of the cross, the death of the cross. To be in excruciating pain means to be the same type of pain that you're on the cross. So if you stub your toe on a table, it's probably not excruciating. Probably not the exact word to use to describe it. But with it, there's a lot of stuff going on. Notice, if you don't mind, as we continue, verse number 16. Verse 17. Then he, bearing the cross, went forth to the place that is the place of the skull, which is in the Hebrew, Golgotha. Now remember, there were three places that Jesus Christ, that started with a G, that Jesus had stopped in on his way. He started at the Garden of Gethsemane. Then he went to the place of the pavement of judgment, which we saw a little bit earlier inside of the gospel record of John chapter 19 and verse 13 of Gabbatha. That's the place of the pavement where Jesus was judged. Then he went to the place of the skull where Jesus Christ was going to be crucified. And that is going to be Golgotha. So again, good trivia question for later on. Hint, hint, hint. Of the three places of the G, the Garden of Gethsemane, Gabbatha, Golgotha. The three places that Jesus traveled on his way to the cross. Just for the fun of it, but isn't it interesting? So Jesus now has come to the place of the cross. They say it's called the place of the skull because it was a hill, and some people said that it looked skull-like. Of course, it didn't look exactly like a skull, but it looked skull-like. We know that there's different mountains and features or clouds that look like certain things. To people with no imagination, it probably just looked like a hill. But with people with imagination, they said, oh, I could see the skull. But it was a place where they had decided to put the crosses where Jesus and the two prisoners were at. And where they crucified him, the two with the others, him, one on one side and Jesus in the midst. Now, anyone who's been in this church for any stretch of time has heard me medically and physically go through the cross. So much so that leading up to this message, I've already got the things that people said I'm already prepared to cringe because of how detail I go through it. I decided I'm going to spare you the details this time. There's plenty of messages that I go through where I go through it, and I go through it fairly often. I'm not going to go through it except for a cursory thing that is necessary to fulfill it. But most of you have known that it is horrible. More than any Hollywood movie could ever portray. It is awful, the death of someone on the cross. When they go through all the things that are gone through. He's already gone through the scourging. But all of this is fulfilling Scripture. A lot of it is fulfilling Scripture. But we're going to spend our time in the rest of this passage, and I want us to go, wow. So we start off with here, the death of the cross, death of the cross. But I want to show you now the king of the cross. The king of the cross. Notice with me in verse number 19. Good. And again, I've already heard the sighs of relief and the look of the faces that I'm not going through all the details of how horrible the death of the cross is and all the pain and things go with it. I'll hit some of it in summary here in just a bit. But there's enough stuff to go, wow, here. I want to spend time on this. Notice in verse 19. And Pilate wrote a title and put it on the cross. And it was written, Jesus of Nazareth, the King of the Jews. Now remember, Pilate, he may have been weak because he had declared Jesus innocent three different times at least and still wouldn't let Jesus go. He was a coward. But he also is not necessarily a pawn of the religious elite. He does not like them, hasn't got along with them for years. He's butted heads with them, and he's pretty upset with them now. Again, he was hoping with the scourging of Jesus Christ that they would let him go. That was his hope. He thought the matter would be dropped. When they didn't, he was backed into a corner that he just scourged a guy for no reason. And he's now confronted. They just told him that this was the Son of God. He's pretty upset. I mean, wouldn't you be mad if you just beat a guy and then they said, oh, by the way, he told us that he was the Son of God. What? Why didn't you tell me this earlier? Oh, we covered this on Wednesday. He's pretty upset. He's not happy with him. And one of the things that he had already done is said, behold your king. And he saw how bad they reacted to it. So when someone is put up on a cross, what the Romans would do is that they would put up on the cross with it the charges. Why was this person put to death? So this guy was put to death because of treason. This guy was put up to death because of insurrection. This guy was an assassin. This guy did this. This guy did that. This guy, whatever else. So what Pilate decided to do to show the charges of Jesus Christ. So if someone said, I wonder why this guy died. They would look and this would be the charges. The charges were Jesus of Nazareth, the King of the Jews. That was his charges. This is why this guy died. Well, that's normally not why someone would put to death. This would cause anyone passing by to stop and go, wait a second. Wait a second. Now, the religious elite immediately were not happy. Notice they had a problem. Verse 20. Then the title then read many of the Jews. Notice again, Pilate did this on purpose, and many of the Jews. Why? Because everyone's a gawker. Yep. Why do we have so many multiple accidents after one accident? Because of rubbernecking, right? You see one accident, and you got to look and see what's going on, and then someone rear ends you because you're driving too slow or crazy or you scrape something. Because people like accidents. We're just weird that way. The Jewish people, remember, there's tons of Jewish people here because of the Passover. The Romans just crucified three people the day before Passover. Well, I got to do something with my time. I know, let's take a tour of Jerusalem. Well, what better tour to take than to go find these people who died? Sounds like different, but what else are you going to do in Jerusalem? There's nothing else to do. It's kind of like Green Bay. What else are you going to do in Green Bay? Smile. I mean, you can only go to Lambeau Field or Bay Beach so many times. Nothing else to do. Many Jews came by. And the many Jews that came by, they wanted to see why this guy died. This guy over here, malefactor. This guy over here, malefactor. This guy, King of the Jews. I want to know more about this story. What's up with this? What's up with this? Then notice, the title then read for many of the Jews, for the place where Jesus was crucified was nigh to the city. So it was close to the city. So you didn't have to travel far. It was just right out there. You just walked outside the city and there it was. And it was written in Hebrew and Greek and Latin. So Hebrew was the language of the scriptures. Any Jewish person was taught to read Hebrew. Greek was the language of culture. It was the trade language. Anyone who dealt with any kind of business or dealt with any other culture understood Greek. Latin was the language of law and the language of the Roman Empire. What this meant was no matter who you were, at the crossroads of the world, remember, Jerusalem is at the crossroads of three continents. From Asia to Africa, you went through Jerusalem. From Asia to Europe, you went through Jerusalem. It was the crossing plates of three continents. At any time in the Capernaum area, there were 70 different people groups, cultures in Capernaum. Jerusalem, you had lots of people passing through. No matter who you were, you could read this title. And there would be plenty of people that would pass by. I wonder what this guy did. Wonder what this guy did. King of the Jews. Jesus of Nazareth, So we know who he is, King of the Jews. I wonder why he died. Why did they put this guy to death? This was his only crime? What is going on? Now, Pilate has no clue what he's doing, but God does. God does. Now, everyone in the world could read this. And the chief priests are not happy about this. So the chief priests go up to Pilate again, verse 21. And the chief priest of the Jews to Pilate, write not King of the Jews, but that he said, I am the King of the Jews. Hey, Pilate, can you redo the charges? We don't want you to say that he was the King of the Jews. We want you to say that he said he was the King of the Jews. Now, again, Pilate has had enough of their nonsense. They've been jerking him around. They've been bossing him around. He's done. So Pilate said, what I've written, I've written. I'm done with it. I'm not changing it. Nana, nana, boo, boo. No. He's done with them. He's not changing it. He did this on purpose to tick them off. Again, they've jerked his chain. He's given them a way out. He's tried to compromise, and they've taken, and he is done. He's finally acting like the Roman governor, way too late. No, I'm not changing it. What I've written is happening. I know you don't like it, and there's nothing you could do about it. I'm the boss. Shut up and leave me alone. And they left. They didn't like it. They were not happy. Wow. They wanted the statement softened. They wanted to make it so it would appear the claim was soft, that it was false. They could not bear to see that title over his head because they had already rejected that same truth in their hearts. Can you imagine? Jesus had pretty much declared that he was the King of the Jews. And they said, no, he's not the King of the Jews. Then for this in big things, Jesus is the King of the Jews. And then to see that, they hated that. They hated that so much. But Pilate, he was done. But notice other things are starting to go on. Verse 23, then the soldiers, when they had crucified Jesus, took his garments and made four parts. As a reminder, when someone was crucified, they had taken all of the clothes off. When someone was crucified, it was part of the shame. They had nothing to hide behind. There was no stitch of clothing upon them. And the Roman soldiers would take all of their clothes and they would divvy it up. Oh, I like this. I like this. What do you want? Have this. Now, Jesus, in addition to his regular clothes, had something special. Notice again, 23. Then the soldiers, when they had crucified Jesus, took his garments and made four parts, every soldier a part, and also his coat. Now the coat was without seam, woven from the top there out. Now this was a special coat. This was a special coat that was made differently. With this coat that was made differently, it would identify him as a teacher, a special teacher of the Hebrew people. Remember, they would often call him master teacher. This cloak, by what he wore, identified himself. His clothes mattered. What he wore identified him as in the crowd, that there was something distinct about him. And clearly identified him. Now, of course, how it was made was also special too. It was made without seam. Now, of course, most of us have seams in our clothes. For example, I have a suit. I have a seam here. So when they made my suit coat, they had this vest part, and then they had to attach the sleeves to it. For those of you who actually do sewing, you know how hard it is to make an actual coat with no seams. That is a very special process to be able to make that at the same time. And so not only was it a very high quality, not only was it made special, it was also a special garment that identified him as a unique, special, high-ranking teacher. In equivalence, it'd be something as someone wearing a suit that would identify him as a preacher, as a teacher. It would immediately garner respect just because of what he wore. Does that make sense? Interesting that God lined up Sunday school and Sunday morning with the idea of modesty and identity of what we wear does matter. Doesn't, not going to place too much emphasis on it, but isn't it interesting? What's more interesting is what the Bible said here. Notice verse 24. They said, therefore, among themselves, let us not rend it or tear it apart or cut it, but let's cast lots for it. Let's gamble for it. So we don't want to tear apart this cloak. It's really nice. It's specially made. Let's not tear it apart. Let's gamble for it. Whoever wins gets the whole thing. For they said, therefore, let us not rend it for cast lots for it. For whose it shall be, for that the scriptures might be fulfilled, which saith, they that parteth my raiment among them, for my vesture did they cast lots. There, these things therefore did the soldiers do. This is Psalm 22. You know, 1,000 years before this event, God talked about Jesus' clothes. And he talked about that these soldiers were going to gamble for the special clothes. Wow. That this is so specific that God even put Jesus' clothes in prophecy. That's pretty specific, isn't it? God knew what he was doing. This is pretty amazing. Notice as it continues to go on. It says, as we move on, we could see that Jesus now is putting attention back on him. We could see the compassion from the cross. The compassion from the cross. Notice with me, if you don't mind, in verse 25. Now there stood by the cross of Jesus, his mother's sister Mary, the wife of Cleophas, and Mary Magdalene. And of course, it's going to mention here John. Now Jesus hung on the cross. John draws attention to a small group standing near him. The crowds mocked and the soldiers gambled, but at the foot of the cross stood those that loved him. John mentions his mother, her sister, Mary, the wife of Cleophas, Mary Magdalene, and then John himself. So there's four people. So in his hour, the greatest agony, Jesus sees them. The rest of the disciples have bailed. They're gone. They're nowhere near him. So Jesus has now lost everyone. There's only four people there. And one person special, Mary, his mother. His mother, Mary, has watched the entire earthly life unfold, believing every promise that God had given concerning him. Now, I want you to think, let's look at Mary's perspective at this time. We usually look at Jesus' perspective. She had, of course, had the announcement of the angel to her. You're going to bear a child. And his name is going to be Jesus. It's going to be a child from God. And he's going to take away the sins of the world. She got a witness. The shepherds come and say, we saw the angels come. She witnessed the three wise men come years later, said, we followed a star. She heard Simeon take this baby during this time of the temple and raise the child in the air and said, behold, it's him! It's him! My eyes have seen him. The Bible makes big reference that she hid those things in her heart. She remembers all these things. She's witnessed his entire life. She was there for his first miracle, the miracle of the wedding at Canaan. She has watched all of these things. And now she's watching her son. We can't cut her out of this. This is her son. She gave birth to him. This is still God robed in flesh, but she raised him. She cared for him. She changed his diapers. I mean, that's intimacy. I mean, he wasn't born 30 years old. She cared for him. She fed him. Joseph, her husband, has been dead for many, many years. Jesus, when he dies on the cross, has no inheritance to give her. He's dirt poor. Remember, he said, I have no pillow to lay my head on. I have nothing. So Joseph is gone. Mary has nothing from him. Jesus is dying. He has nothing to give. I know that she's probably not thinking of finances and bills, but that's going to be something that's going to come up probably really soon. But she's looking at her son. She's watched all of her life bleeding, not just on the cross, but scourged. His face is battered and bruised. And she's there. Praise the Lord, she's got some comforter. She's got her sister. She's got Mary Magdalene there. And Jesus is in so much pain. Again, normally I would cover how much pain Jesus is in, but I've done that a lot. But Jesus is in lots of pain. And he looks down, verse 26. And when Jesus therefore saw his mother and the disciple, this is John. John again is not bringing attention to himself. And the disciple standing by whom he loved, he saith to his mother, Woman, behold thy son. And he saith to the disciple, Behold thy mother. And from that hour, that disciple took her into his own home. He looked down, and Jesus, even though he's in lots of pain, said, I'm going to take care of my mother. Amen. He was concerned for someone else's future, even though he was in lots of pain. By the way, this is again another fulfillment of Scripture. We're going to talk a lot about fulfillment of Scripture in this last remaining time. The Bible talks about in Isaiah, this is the tongue of the learned. The tongue of the learned. We have a whole message on this in our archives where we talk about this. The seven sayings of Jesus on the cross. That Jesus, even though he was in pain, took time to care for someone else. That was a fulfillment of Scripture. And Isaiah, what a wonderful God. He made sure that he was taking care of John. You take care of her like he was your own mother. And she now had a home where someone was going to take care of her. Someone was going to make sure that she had food, her bills were paid, everything was taken care of. He made sure that her future was secure even though he was on the cross. Amen. Isn't that wow? What a wonderful Savior to take the time to do that. Most of us would be in so much pain we wouldn't care about anyone else. But she did. Even while bearing the sins of the world, his heart was breaking for her and he was caring. The heart of compassion. Understand that Jesus was not a victim. He was still giving himself for others and still thinking of those that he loved during this time. As we finish off, we see the completion of the Scriptures. The completion of the Scriptures. Notice here some good things here. Verse 28. After this, Jesus knowing... Notice this, Jesus knowing, because he's God, Jesus knowing, I'm putting a big emphasis, this is good, Jesus knowing that all things were now accomplished, that Scripture might be fulfilled. So Jesus now says, all Scripture's been fulfilled. By the way, there is a plethora of prophecies all about Jesus on the cross. Amen. And Jesus says, check, 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 check. We've checked them all off. Got one more left. One more prophecy left. Knowing that all the prophecies are left except one, let's go and check off this last one. He says that Scripture might be fulfilled, I thirst. Now notice this. Now this is strange, but it's part of Scripture. Now therefore was set a vessel full of vinegar. Now if you're thirsty, vinegar is not what you want. They're doing this to be mean to Jesus. Now there was therefore a vessel full of vinegar, and they put a sponge with vinegar and put it upon hyssop, which is like a tree branch, so basically a big stick, and put it to his mouth. And when Jesus therefore had received the vinegar, he said, it is finished. What is finished? All the Scriptures, the last check. It wasn't just, I finished dying on the cross. The last Scripture, check. probably a little bit different than you saw that before. He says, all the scriptures have been fulfilled. One more left. Check. All right, I fulfilled all the scriptures. I'm done. I'm coming home. Wow. Now, I don't know about you, but that's good stuff. That should make you go, wow. That should give you something to think about for a couple days. Amen. Jesus said, all right, I know all these scriptures. Check, 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 check. You imagine him looking at the soldiers? Check. Seeing that over there? Check. All right, take care of mom? Check. He already knows, of course, he wrote scripture. He knew everything. He knew the things from the end from the beginning. Check. Last one left. I thirst. He knows what they're going to do. They're not going to give him water. They're going to give him vinegar. And the Bible said that's what he was going to do. Check. And he says, not thank you for the vinegar, but it's finished. Last one's done. Check. And he bowed his head and gave up the ghost. I didn't want to leave until every single scripture was completed. Because Jesus was here to complete all scripture. Notice what the Bible says that now. Verse 21, or 31. Jesus, therefore, because it was the preparation that the bodies would not remain on the cross on the Sabbath day, which remember, Sabbath day carries the idea of a holy day, not just Saturday. So don't let this confuse your thing. Remember, the next day is the Passover, which is a holy day, a Sabbath day. So it's not going to be a Saturday. So don't let it ruin your calendar. This is a Wednesday. The next day is a Thursday. Okay? So it's a holy day, the Passover day, okay? The Jews, therefore, because of the preparation that the body should not remain on the cross on the Sabbath day, that's, by the way, why we don't do Friday, Good Friday, and all that other stuff, because it's the wrong day. Oh, anyways. The Jews, therefore, because of the preparation, the bodies not remain on the cross on the Sabbath day, for the Sabbath day was a high day, the Passover, besought Pilate that their legs might be broken, that they may be taken away. Then came the soldiers and break the leg of the first and the other, which was crucified with him. Why did they break the legs? Because on a normal person, it would take 3 days for a person to die on a cross. It was a slow process. Remember that as they hung up on the cross, their chest cavity would be caved in, rolled over. Their lungs would not be able to get enough breath, and they would have to stretch out with whatever strength they have to get a deep breath. And after a while, they would get tired and tired with no food, no water, and they would slowly die of hypoxia, of carbon dioxide poisoning, because they wouldn't get enough in there. But it would take 3 days. When the soldiers would take a big hammer and break their legs, they can no longer pull up to get breath, so therefore they would suffocate quicker and they would die. And the purpose was, so we don't, during our high holy day and the Passover, we don't have these dead people hanging around. We want to celebrate life. We want to celebrate God in our religious way rather than look at death. That was the purpose of it. So they go to Jesus. And they came to Jesus and saw that he was dead already, and they break not his legs. So remember, Jesus was scourged. Even though Pilate did that, you know, part of the scourging was to allow that blood to leak out of Jesus' body already, so his legs didn't have to be broken. Notice the scripture, verse 34. But one of the soldiers with a spear pierced his side, and forthwith came their blood and water. Why did water come out when it pierced his side and his heart? Well, understand, with all of the pressure going on, you have outside of your heart what is called the pericardial sac. And the pericardial sac is a smooth muscle that is made to to reduce the friction of a heart the more that it beats. And what happened is that this pericardial sac began to fill up with fluid to protect the heart as the heart began to beat faster and faster. Well, it began to swell up so much that it put more pressure on the heart. And as Jesus began to lose more fluid, and it would swell up more. So Jesus died of a pericardial infraction. He died of a broken heart. So when the soldier put the spear through his side and it pierced through his heart, it is significant that blood and water came out. That water came out because of that pericardial sac. So much fluid had built into it. Why does it say blood first instead of water? Because it does it in the order of importance, not what came out first. So it came out blood and water, once again showing medically what was going on in Jesus. That blood and water came out. Normally, if you stabbed someone's heart, blood would come out, right? If you took someone healthy and put a spear on it, blood would come out. The idea that that much water came out, that it was noticeable, was medically significant. Anyways, verse 20, 35. And he saw that it bare record. So the soldier bare record. And he told everyone, hey, when I speared him, blood and water came out. This is unusual. When I spear people, usually just blood comes out. But look at all this water that came out too. And his record is true, and he that knoweth it, that believes, said it's true, that ye might believe. Hey, look, we have a Roman soldier who's not a Christian, who's outside of this, who verified Jesus died, and he died this way, and it's medically significant. For these things were done that Scripture might be fulfilled, that a bone of him should not be broken. There was several scriptures that spoke about this, that not a bone would be broken. Jesus died before the soldiers had to take the hammer out. He died of a broken heart, not of a broken leg. He didn't die of apoplexy. He died of a broken heart. Verse 37, and again, another scripture said, they shall look upon him whom they pierced. Of course, they pierced his hands, and then they pierced his side. All of this to fulfill scripture. There was so many scriptures fulfilled. And it is significant that Jesus said, it is finished. What is finished? I finished fulfilling all the scriptures. Because he's still 100% God. Who is Jesus? He is the King of the Jews. He is the King of God. And we can trust him. Have you trusted him? The idea is that Jesus Christ is God and the scriptures are true. Remember, the greatest thing that you could do on a daily basis is to be in the Word of God for yourself. We know that Jesus Christ died. We know that Jesus Christ was our Passover lamb, that Jesus Christ did all of this on our behalf to pay for our sins. And this is true, that we have the prophecies that predicted what happened. We have history to verify what happened. We have witnesses there that said this would happen that were independent witnesses. And the whole purpose of the Bible is to make us go, wow, what a God. Normally, on a crucifixion message, we would, of course, give an invitation for the purpose of salvation. And of course, if you don't know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, we would love to invite you to respond and accept Jesus as your Savior. We never want to stop giving that invitation. But we understand in a crowd like this, most of you have accepted Jesus as your Savior. So the invitation for you is different. When's the last time, except for this morning, that the Bible made you go, wow? Maybe your Bible reading has kind of gotten dry and dusty. Maybe you've kind of just gotten routine where you've just seen black words, red words every now and again. Maybe you said, well, I know this story. I've heard this story. No big deal. When's the last time you looked forward to reading the Bible and said, Lord, I want to see something that makes me go, wow. I want to see something amazing. I want to see something that shows about you. I want to see something about your scripture. Whenever you read the Bible, it should make you go, wow. There should be something that pops up at you that shows you more about what a wonderful God that we have. Maybe if it's been a while, maybe you could say, Lord, I want you to show me something this week. I want you to make me look forward to my Bible reading, and I can't wait to find something. Even in a passage like this, without a doubt, many of you who've been in this church for a while have read John several times. And you probably today saw something here. I never saw that before. Good. Remember, John 19 is so rich. You could dig in here. I am a pastor. I've read through the Bible from cover to cover 50 times at least. And that's not counting independent passages where I just read a passage here or study a passage or whatever else. And I still find things that make me go, wow. Still find things. I never saw that before. This is great. Wonderful. The Bible should always make us go, wow. So when's the last time the Bible's made you go, wow? And if it's been a while, maybe you should go to the Lord and say, Lord, help me to look forward to my Bible reading. Give me something this week that really excites me. Where I just got to tell someone and said, I found something great. I want to tell you what God's done for me. I want to tell you what I found in here. I'm so excited. We should be so excited we want to tell someone what God's done for us. Thank you for listening to this audio message. This is Pastor Scotty Bockhaus, and I encourage you to take this information that you just received and make a specific decision to follow after the Lord. If you don't know Jesus Christ as your Savior, let me beg you to take the time to receive Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins. If you are saved, I encourage you to make a decision in your life to help you get closer with the Lord. If there's anything specific we can do to be a blessing or to pray for you, we encourage you. Look us up on the internet at riverviewbc.com. Once again, that's riverviewbc.com. Or if you would prefer to call us, you could give us a call at area code 920-530-6308. Once again, that number is 920-530-6308. If there's anything we can do to be a blessing or an encouragement to you, please let us know. We would love to make ourselves available. Thank you.